Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Every praise. every praise, every praise to our God. Every word of worship is one accord. Every praise, every praise to our God.
5 through verse 13. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Thank you so much, choir. Thank you, ushers. Amen. Y'all can go ahead and be seated. Thank you. This is your day. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, there you will find these words. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Amen. Amen. On this day, before Veterans Day, as we honor our veterans, I just want to talk a little bit about how much our veterans mean to us and their importance, even to Christ. Amen. 94 years ago today, World War I ended at exactly 11 o'clock a.m. I'm sorry, 94 years ago tomorrow. Amen. World War I ended at exactly 11 o'clock a.m. on the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918. After the war, Congress declared November 11th an annual holiday, and originally it was called Armistice Day. But in 1953, after the Second World War ended, the name was changed to Veterans Day. And so tomorrow, on the 11th day of the 11th month, we pay tribute to all American veterans, both living and dead, who fought so bravely to provide and protect our freedoms as a country. Why are veterans so deserving of our honor? Well, one reason is because of the cause to which they have committed themselves. A veteran is committed to the cause of freedom. A veteran is committed to the cause of courage. A veteran is committed to the love of country. Long after the veteran has laid aside his or her military uniform, they remain some of the most patriotic, the most loyal, the most committed Americans that we have in this country. And for that commitment to a cause greater than themselves, they are deserving of our honor. Another reason our veterans are so deserving of our honor is because of the cost the veterans are willing to pay. The veteran is willing to give up the safety and security of their own homes. The veteran has been willing to leave behind family and friends. The veteran has been willing to give up their personal plans for education and career. Some suffered the loss of sight. Some forfeited arms and legs. Some had their faces permanently scarred or grossly disfigured. Many sacrificed their lives, and many others will be haunted by the nightmarish images of war for the rest of their lives. And for those great costs they have paid, our veterans are deserving of our honor. In our scripture text today, Jesus pays great honor to a military veteran, not because of his service to his country, but because of his faith in God. 2 points, amen, that I want to leave you with this morning, and I'll be done. The first point is that the military veteran in our text gave honor to Christ. That's in verses 5 through 8. I'll read it again. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Here it is in verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. So the first thing we see is that this military veteran in our scripture gives honor to Christ. You need to understand that a centurion was a military leader in the Roman army. The Greek word for centurion, ekatonarkos, means commander of 100. Now, while a centurion may have commanded 100, it wasn't at all uncommon for a Roman centurion to have more than 100 people under their command. Later in verse 9, the centurion told Jesus about the kind of authority that he had in the Roman army. Look at it. He says, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. I don't know if you know this or not, but every time a centurion is mentioned in the Bible, in the New Testament, it is always in a favorable light. In Matthew 27 and 54, when Jesus died on the cross, it was a centurion who said, truly, this man was the Son of God. In Acts 10 and 1, the first Gentile convert mentioned by name in the scripture was a centurion by the name of Cornelius. In Acts 21 and 32, we read where some soldiers, including centurions, were the ones who rescued Paul from being killed by an angry mob in Jerusalem. In Acts 23 and 17, we read that it was centurions and a band of more than 200 soldiers who provided Paul with a military escort to Caesarea when he was brought before Felix, the governor. And in Acts 27, when Paul and a group of prisoners were being taken to Rome and their ship wrecked on the Isle of Malta, the soldiers who were escorting the prisoners wanted to kill all of them to keep them from escaping, but a centurion aboard the ship convinced them not to do it because he wanted to spare Paul's life. And then in our scripture today, we meet another centurion who is painted in a very favorable light. We learn this centurion had come to Jesus because he had a servant who had some sort of paralysis and was in terrible suffering. The Greek word Matthew used in verse 6 for servant means boy or one who is loved like a son. Jesus, seeing the love and compassion that this rugged military veteran had for his suffering servant, said, I will come and heal him. But then notice the great honor that this military veteran gives to Jesus in verse 8. He says, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but I've got enough faith to believe that if you only speak a word, my servant will be healed. By faith, the centurion had come to Jesus. He could have commanded that his soldiers bring the boy to Jesus. He didn't do that. He sought out Jesus. By faith, the centurion humbly honored Christ as the superior authority. By faith, this military veteran recognized his unworthiness to have the sinless Christ come into his home. The military veteran gave honor to Christ. I want to know this Sunday morning at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, are there any military veterans who don't mind giving honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? As a matter of fact, some of you, if you could testify right now, would have to testify that the only reason I survived was because the Lord was with me. Is there, and I'm not just talking about on the battlefield, some of the fights you've had to fight, you had to fight for promotion, you had to fight, amen, to have your voice heard, you had to fight for your respect. Is there anybody here who will testify that Jesus was with you? So that's the first point. That's the first point. Amen. This military veteran, amen, gave honor to Christ. But here's my second point, and we're going to get on out of here to go home. Amen. 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 Not only did the military veteran give honor to Christ, but we see that Christ in turn gives honor to the military veteran. Verses 10 through 13. It says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, nudge your neighbor and say, as you have believed. Nudge that other neighbor and say, what do you believe? Come on, is there anybody in here who believes he's a healer? Is there anybody here who believes he's a way maker? Is there anybody here who believes he'll fight your battles? He'll turn your enemies into a footstool? Is there anybody in here who believes that he will make you the head and not? Is there anybody in here who believes that he will make you the lender and not the borrower? Amen. As you have believed, so shall it be done unto you. And I'm just foolish enough to believe that that's why some people don't have their healing, because you don't believe. That's why your bank account is still in the deficit, because you don't believe. I'm foolish enough to believe that my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And my pastor used to say that if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, I ought to be able to get a hamburger every now and then. Come on, give him praise in this place. Honor him today and watch God turn around and honor you. Bless him today and watch God turn around and bless you. Praise him today. Won't he lift you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't he place your feet on solid ground? Honor him, and he will honor you. So this veteran, he honors Christ, and Christ turns around and honors him. First of all, in verse 10, Jesus honored him for his faith. Amen, amen. There are only two times in the New Testament where we're told that Jesus was marveled at anything. I said there are only two times in the New Testament where we discover that Jesus, come on, think about who I'm talking about. Amen, amen. There were only two times that Jesus marveled at something. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says that Jesus marveled at the unbelief of the Jewish people in his hometown of Nazareth. And then the second time, here in Matthew 7 and 10, he marvels at the faith of this centurion. In fact, my brothers and sisters, Jesus hadn't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Now watch it, because he had performed miracles in their towns. He had performed miracles in their villages. He had taught them in their synagogues, and yet the Jewish people still rejected him. It was this Gentile military veteran, this Roman centurion, who demonstrated an uncommon faith in the Lord Jesus, so much so that Jesus marveled at his faith. My brothers and sisters, I need to tell you that true faith honors Christ. And then I need to tell you that Christ honors true faith. Do you understand that you can't move the heart of God if you don't really believe? You can pray a long prayer. You can get sophisticated with it and make sure all of your nouns and your verbs and your adverbs and your adjectives are in the right place. But if you don't have faith, that prayer ain't going nowhere. I heard somebody say, you know, when I was a kid, we would laugh at some of the old deacons when they prayed, because they hadn't been to school, they didn't have an education, and sometimes they would pray, Lord, I've been knee bent and body bowed. They would have all the verbs wrong and made up words and all of that, but I somehow believe that because they had faith,
I somehow believe that because they truly believed, God stepped in and opened doors for them. God stepped in and made a way for them. Is there anybody here who realizes that you survived all the stuff you went through, not because you were so smart, not because you had friends in high places? Is there anybody here who realizes that you're here today because you had a grandmama who truly believed and she was praying for you? You had a mama, you had a daddy, you had grandparents, amen, who they didn't have high school and college degrees behind their name, but they had enough faith to believe that if you give it to God, he could work it out. He could work. And can I testify, there have been times when I didn't even know my mama was praying for me. But because of her prayers, I'm standing.